Oh, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. We are glad that you're here, all of us here in the room, and those of you joining us online, we're glad you're with us too. We like to begin our services with this greeting, Christians. I think we've been saying this to each other forever. The Lord be with you. Thanks. I know what I think of when we exchange that little greeting is, we know God's always with us, right? We know He's always here, but when we greet each other with that, it's like saying, hey, I want you to be aware of God's presence with you. I want you to know today that God is with you, right? That He meets you right where you are, right in the middle of all the stuff that's got you, you know, racing through this morning or that's got you stressed out. I saw a couple of you when you sat down, you're just like, ah, made it. You know? Whatever's going on in life, this is where God meets us. And man, I'm so thankful for that. And I want us all to be aware of His presence with us. So let's bow our heads and pray to Him as we begin. God, thank you for inviting us into this time of worship where we get to sing to you, pray to you, listen for your Spirit speaking through the Scriptures, gather around the table of our Lord Jesus. Please, God, would you use everything that we do today to connect our hearts to yours, to help us to know your presence with us. God, help us to be honest with you about what we need and what we want to say. Some of us, maybe it's just a whole lot of thanks today, God, and we need to give you credit for all of your good gifts. For some of us, maybe it's some struggles that we're facing, and we desperately need your help. Help us to be honest with you, God, honest with each other, honest with ourselves, to be open to you so that we'll receive whatever it is that you want to give, whatever it is that you need to say to us today. God, we want your grace to touch every part of our lives, every part of who we are, everything we carry with us into this time of worship today. Thank you, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, some of you might have noticed, come on up, Matt, that Missy's not here today. She is at the Great Banquet weekend, so please continue to pray for them. They're going to wrap that up today. But fortunately, Matt Blahnik was able to come and join us again, and I know we've always enjoyed every time he's led us in the musical part of the worship service. So if you're interested, able, let's stand and let's sing.
Morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. And excited to be worshiping together. So, as Rich said, this is our opportunity to worship God for who He is and what He's done. So let's do that together now.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord of my soul. Love. You're rich in and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then thank you. will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great.
Amen. All right, well, I'm going to teach y'all a new one that I think is new here, but I think it's such a powerful song that talks about us magnifying the Lord with who we are, and it talks about us being living sacrifices. And so we sing these songs. We get to sing, Great Are You, Lord, and lift that up in this moment, in this space, and that's so good. It's good for us to be in awe and wonder of who He is, and it's also an incredible opportunity throughout our week and our interactions with our neighbors and people around us to live out the gospel and to live out this truth of who He is. And so that's at the heart of this song, that Christ would be lifted up and magnified in and through us. So it may be new, and if that's the case, feel free to take it in, and as you catch on, feel free to sing along.
Creation suddenly articulate with a thousand tongues to lift one cry. Then from north to south and east to west, we'll sing Christ be magnified. The whole earth echoing His eminence, His name would burst from sea and sky. From rivers to the mountain tops, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Heart its native cry.
I'd like for us to continue that prayer if we could. Father, we do magnify you this morning. With all that we are and all that we do, Lord, we just ask that our lives would be a magnification of who you are in us and through us and for us, Lord. When we think of all the things that you have kept us from, all of the things that you have rescued us from, all of the things that you've saved us from, Lord, how can we do anything but magnify you? How can we do anything but thank you? You've redeemed us. You've restored us, Lord. You've reconciled us to yourself. And we lift up our voices in praise this morning. And because of what you've already done for us and in us, because of who you are, Lord, we know that you walk with us through everything that we're going through. We know that you are with us no matter what it is we're facing. There's nothing in this life, there's nothing happening in this world that you're not aware of and that you aren't already working out what needs to be worked out for our good. So, Lord, we thank you this morning. We lift you up. We do magnify you today. And we thank you for gathering us here this morning, gathering us in this place or together virtually, Lord, however it is that you've drawn us to this moment. We thank you. We thank you for each other. And we give you all the honor and praise and glory and blessing this morning, Lord. Because we can do nothing else. As we pray these things in your name, amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, pass the peace amongst yourselves.
All right, just real quick while you guys are finishing your conversations, hello again to those of you joining us online. We'd love it if you'd drop us a comment saying you're with us today. I know I got some text messages from several of you saying, like, hey, I'm not feeling well. Oh, couldn't make it. I'm watching online. So hi, all of you. Good to have you with us. And if there's some way we can be praying for you or thanking God with you or anything, the same goes for all of us. You can use that link on the screen, livinghope.info/connect. Or if you're in the room, you can just grab one of those little green cards off the silver table back there and jot your note on it and drop it in the offering box. If you're giving today, you can drop that in there too. You can give online, scan the code, whatever. All that stuff works. So thank you to all of you who give faithfully, all the different ways that you give. It's a beautiful thing. Some of you noticed on the tables are these baby bottles and the little things from the Women's Center. We do that every year around Mother's Day. And man, is Mother's Day really next Sunday? Oh, man, okay. Whew. All right. And so we'll talk about this more next week, but just wanted to let you know what this is. If you are making a donation to the Women's Center to help them serve women in crisis pregnancy type situations, you can bring that back next week or anytime by the end of May. All right? And if you want to read more, there's stuff there on the tables. I did want to make sure, too, to remind you that the 6K is right around the corner, and there is a little promo code. Ooh, I don't have this on their website yet. The promo code is Empower Moms. It's $10 off now through midnight Mother's Day. So if you just type Empower Moms in the little promo code thing, then you'll get that. So if you haven't signed up yet to join us on May 16th as we lap our way around the park over there, we will... Greg, are you trying to fix the camera?
Yeah.
Just put it on camera one. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it. If camera two is goofed up, am I blurry? Am I blurry right now? Can you see me? Yeah. Technology's fun. Oh, man. I see Greg back there thinking, like, how do I adjust this right now while he's talking? Like, oh, well. That's okay. Yeah, if you want to join us as we do laps around the park next on May 16th, you can still sign up VAPO 6K anytime between now and then. And just if you sign up this week, use that promo code Empower Moms and let some other donor pay that $10 for you. Otherwise, you can pay the whole thing, and that'll provide clean water for a child that they will send to you, his or her name and face and country where they're working. World Vision's working all over the world bringing clean water to people. It's amazing. So, and some of you had asked, that same day is the next Feed the People. That group's going to be here to do a free lunch and worship that day at 12:30. And then the next weekend is the next free bikes and tune-ups day out in the parking lot on May 23rd. So Once we do them, you guys are always asking, like, hey, when's the next one? That's the next one, all right? So May 23rd, tell your friends. If you got a bike to drop off, you can bring it that day or anytime in between. And, you know, I realized, too, that I completely forgot. I mentioned Chris last week and then forgot to put her in the list of people to be praying for there at the bottom. So I just talked with Chris Gross this morning. I mentioned last week that she'd had a couple of strokes, and she was out in Fort Wayne when it happened, so she's in a hospital over there. They're hoping the next day or two to send her back this way into, like, a place to kind of get some physical therapy for a week or two while she gets her strength back up. She lives on the second floor in her building, and so she needs to be able to handle those stairs. So continue to pray for Chris that God will restore anything that the strokes might have taken from her and that she can be back to us and back to full strength soon, all right? And thank you to those of you who've shown up this last week to help with the cleaning. She normally cleans the church. So some of you are here Monday morning to help clean up after our mess. Some of you are here Friday morning to clean up after the other messes that get made in the church during the week to get ready for today. So thank you to those of you who've been helping. Let's see. I already mentioned that we should be praying for Missy and for the group at the Great Banquet. So, yeah.
I have a prayer. Will you please pray for Linda?
Okay.
Her
all right. Yeah.
God needs a lot of prayer.
Okay. Thanks, Diane. We'll keep praying for Linda and for John. And Linda with her physical stuff. And
I have the greatest vacation. I'm enjoying it and I'm having fun.
When is your vacation? Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
I've been on vacation since May 1st.
All right. Enjoy the rest of it.
Enjoying it.
That's good. It's been. That's right. Thank you, Diane. Thank you.
So much to me. I can give it to you.
Oh, thank you for your generosity. That was wonderful. All right. Unless there's something else I need to be mentioning, let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray before we dive into the scripture this morning. Thank you, God. You are good, and we do want you to be magnified in our lives. We want to see you at work in our thoughts, in our attitudes, in our hearts, in our lives, the ways that we live here in the world. And so, God, please use your word, the scriptures that we read today, our reflections on them. God, speak to us. We don't want these just to be my thoughts. God, we want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear your spirit speaking to us today. Thank you, God. Thank you for the opportunity to center our hearts and our minds on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wanted to build on something that we talked about last week. So for the last 3 weeks, we were looking back at Genesis, right? Chapters, the first three pages of the Bible. And last week, we did the whole story about the serpent in the garden and how they believed his lies and turned away from God and all the consequences of that. And that God was still gracious and good and, you know, that instead of hiding from God like Adam and Eve did, we can, because of Jesus, we can come to God to receive mercy and grace. We can know because of Jesus. We can have confidence coming to God that he's not angry. He's not looking for an opportunity to smite us or something. It's like that old Far Side cartoon. Some of you have that in your head right now. There's an old Far Side comic that it's a picture of God in like a heavenly control room looking at monitors of everyone on the earth. And there's one with like a person on it, and he's got his finger just hovering over this big button that says smite. He's like, he's just waiting, you know. Some of us have that idea of God, you know, that like, oh, he's just waiting to get me for what I've done. And we talked about last week, we don't need to hide. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to let sin pull us away from God. Instead, the Bible tells us that because of Jesus, we can have confidence to come to the throne of our gracious God to receive mercy and find grace to help us when we need it most. It's Hebrews chapter 4. That was last week. But this idea of us having an enemy who lies to us, it was colliding with a book that I'd been reading after seeing it on my wife's bedside table. Pastor, author named John Mark Comer wrote a book called Live No Lies, and I thought, this is something that we should probably talk about a little bit. Because some of us are just, well, some of us just think it's just us. You know, so we have this tendency in the society that we live in to not give much credence to stuff we don't see, right? Stuff we can't touch, stuff we can't study or put under a microscope. And sure, maybe you've come to the place of like believing that there's a God who created all this, and maybe you've even put your trust in him and are following Jesus Christ, but this idea that there's like an enemy, that we're at war, like bothers us. I don't like the war imagery very much, frankly, but the Bible is full of it. Says that we are at war, that we do have an enemy who's making war against our souls. And so I put there in your notes just that reminder from last week from Genesis 3. It was pictured there as a serpent. The serpent was the shrewdest, it says, of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say, and starts this conversation trying to get them to doubt God's goodness, to doubt God's heart for them, and eventually to take matters into their own hands instead of trusting God to continue to lead them. I mentioned last week at the end of the book, at the end of the Bible, end of Revelation, is pictured as a dragon. And Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 says, this great dragon, the ancient serpent, called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. It's a description of this battle between the dragon, who in Revelation is kind of animating the beastly government that is oppressing Christians and the whole world, this evil Satan, this evil being, this evil power behind the throne, is being battled by Michael and by the angels and loses, right? Is cast down. But it says he was deceiving the whole world. This is what the devil does. Jesus, in John chapter 8, was talking with some religious leaders who were rejecting what he had to say, and he said, look, you belong to your father, the devil. You might be thinking back to this Adam and Eve story. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I mean, Jesus is not a fan, as you can tell, right? And Jesus has encounter after encounter with evil spirits, unclean spirits, demons, devils, whatever label you want to put on them, and different translators translate it different ways. And he casts them out as they're oppressing people. He tells them to get lost. And but he says here, he describes like, look, this devil is a liar. And sometimes we find ourselves not just hearing those lies, but believing those lies and living out those lies, carrying out the devil's desires instead of God's desires for our lives. He said he's a murderer from the beginning. I kind of thought about continuing through Genesis. Well, chapter 4, you get to Cain and Abel, and you know the brother kills the brother. And I thought, okay, yeah, none of you are going to kill your brothers, I don't think, probably, as much as you might want to sometimes. So I thought, well, we'll just go ahead and we'll go this other route instead, because we all deal with this struggle. We all deal with lies that we're told by this devil, this murderer from the beginning, who Jesus said wants to steal, kill, destroy, right? Well, Jesus wants to give life. Help us to have an abundant life, the life you created us for. The devil just wants to burn it all down. He wants to stop you from believing God, trusting God, and following God into the good and beautiful life that he has for you. And if you're sitting here and you're like, oh, great, he wants us to believe in a devil. I don't know if I can follow you there, Rich. Horns and pointy beard and, you know, tail and hooves and all that pitchfork and all that stuff. You know, he's got the red suit. I can't believe in all that. Okay, that's fine. I don't know that I believe the devil really walks around like that either. It's not like South Park. It's not like all the different depictions that we've seen of the devil in the world, right? The devil is, apparently, according to the Bible, the devil starts out as like part of God's counsel. You know, like at the beginning where God says, let us create human beings in our own image and all this. It's like God is talking to a council of other spiritual beings, angels, other spiritual beings. And the devil seems to be one of those, known as the Satan or the accuser, who apparently originally was like had a role to play to kind of help us to mature, perhaps, by he's the one leading the tests that people would have to go through. Just like a teacher, you know, occasionally gives tests that, so that students will study and will prepare and, you know, we'll find out how they're doing and all of that. That seems to be maybe the role that the Satan, the accuser, was supposed to play. That's the Satan is really a title. It's not a name. It's just a Hebrew word for the accuser. And so he seemed to have that role to play in God's purposes. But then apparently, somewhere along the way, the Satan decided, I don't want to just help these human beings to grow. I want to tempt them away from God and try to get them, and maybe I can get them to go my way. And the devil starts, we start calling him a devil, the Satan, the accuser, starts becoming an enemy of God and God's purposes somewhere along the way. Now, I don't know how that all happens. Honestly, the Bible doesn't just come out and give you like, here, let me describe the devil and all this real straightforward. There's like bits and pieces here and there. And so we pick up those bits and pieces. We do our best to try to make sense of them. But what we do know, if we're listening to Jesus, is that there is an enemy. There is a devil who wants nothing more than for your life to be destroyed and who will lie to you every chance he gets and try to get you to believe those lies so that you will choose to go down that path that leads to destruction. Instead of choosing to trust in your Heavenly Father who made you and loves you, who sent his Son for you. What I put here, you might have heard these three words put together before. I don't know if you have or not. Where it says, followers of Jesus are at war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. From ancient times, Christians, followers of Jesus, saw themselves as at war with these three things. That there were these three things that all were trying to stop us, trying to get us to not live the life God has for us. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And I like what John Mark Comer did with these three. Here's how he kind of connected them. He said that we find ourselves being told deceptive ideas, lies, by the devil, right? That then play to our disordered desires. They connect with something in us that initially was good, this good desire for something good, but then has gotten twisted along the way, gotten out of order, and the Bible calls that the flesh. So these deceptive ideas play to our disordered desires that then are normalized in a sinful society, which is the world. So the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we're going to talk about each of those. Today we're looking at the lies, all right? Next week we'll talk about the flesh or these disordered desires, which we saw back in Genesis 3, right? The devil tells Eve, hey, you know, you won't die. God knows you eat this fruit and it's good for you and all this. And she sees it's good for wisdom and she wants wisdom and she wants beauty and she wants what it offers. It connects with something in her. We're going to talk about that next week. If that's where you really feel the struggle, it's like, yeah, but there's something in me that wants these things, that wants to believe these lies, that wants to go down these paths. Be back next week, okay? That's going to be the focus. And when we talk about the world, our sinful society, you guys know we are not the kind of church that's saying, yep, we're at war with the world. You know, all those Christians got to huddle up and gear up and get ready to go fight those evil people out there. That's not the picture the Bible paints at all right? There is an enemy, but that enemy is not your neighbor. I don't care how they voted in the last election or plan to vote in this primary or which ballot they poll. You know, it doesn't matter, all right? We are not at war with our neighbors, but there is a war for your soul and for mine. And so if you find yourself feeling tired, if you find it difficult to follow Jesus, if he feels like sometimes you're pushing against something, well, That's because there is this spiritual battle at work that you're in the midst of, whether you know it or not. The Apostle Paul described it this way in Ephesians chapter 2. Some of this is pretty familiar to us. He says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Remember, not your neighbor. But we're fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And I know sometimes we hear that and we think, yes, finally he's talking about spiritual warfare and things we got to pray against, and we've got all kinds of images that enter our heads when we think of spiritual warfare and what that means. Well, listen to what the armor looks like that the Apostle Paul describes. It says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I find it interesting that the beginning and end of his list, the beginning is truth, and at the end is the word of God. It's like he bookends it, saying, look, the enemy that we have, this devil, is going to do its best to get you to believe lies. He's going to be whispering lies in your ear constantly. You're going to hear him coming from all sorts of different directions. We're swimming in a world full of lies about who we are and how the world works and who we're supposed to be and how you get ahead and all the rest. And the defense against those lies is the truth, is God's word, is allowing God to speak truth into your mind and heart and life so that you'll recognize those lies as lies. And so that in that moment, you'll be able to say, wait a minute. No, that's not true. It's not true at all. Where did that thought come from? Right? Because you'll know the truth. You'll be able to recognize the lie. This is how we defend ourselves. This is even how we, the sword of the Spirit. It sounds like kind of an offensive weapon there. It's the word of God. It's God's truth that helps us to win this battle. this came up this past Wednesday night when we were just chatting here at church during that 6 o'clock Bible discussion group. We used to call it a Bible study, and we realized we're not really studying so much as we're just kind of discussing like where this connects with our lives and asking questions and trying to figure out how we live this thing out. And we were talking about, somebody was talking about being able to discern and how as they have grown in their walk with Christ, as they have read more of the Bible and have gotten this daily practice of they start their day with a devotional book, and then they're reading scripture, and then they're listening to Christian music, and they're doing everything they can to soak their minds and their hearts in the truths of God. They've found it so much easier to recognize the lies as lies, because they're like, yeah, it's so much easier to discern now, because it just doesn't line up with what I know God has already said is true. And so when I hear this lie that says, what you really need right now, is to take a hit of that, what you used to take a hit of all the time, or to drink what you used to drink all the time, or to go back to that place where you knew that you could just unwind and, get a little extra help to unwind, and that's what you really need. When you hear that, you're like, oh, no, that is not how God works. That is not what God wants for me. I know what God wants for me, and it's not that. I know where that road goes. I'm not going to go down that road again. When you hear the lie telling you that you're not, because you're not as attractive as that person that you just scrolled past on Instagram or whatever, that you are not valuable and that you'll never be loved, and someone's whispering, that voice is starting to enter your ear, nope, that's a lie from the devil. The Bible tells me that I'm loved by God, that I'm a child of God, that he's got good plans for me, that I don't need to believe that I'm worthless when God gives me so much worth. When the lie kind of echoes through your brain that maybe you picked up along the way, maybe from a disappointed parent or something, that like the only way that you're going to matter to anybody is by how much you succeed, that you've accomplished more and more, that you climb the corporate ladder or whatever that might be, that you accumulate a bigger pile of wealth or toys. Like the more you soak your mind and heart in God's word, the more you are able to recognize, wait a minute, that's not what life's about. Jesus directly countered that one. He said it's not about that. One analogy that came up Wednesday night was that Oh, I don't remember what it was. I just had to deposit something at the bank the other day. Oh, I think it was some Christmas money. The boys had gotten like a couple $100 bills each at Christmas or something. And I can't spend a $100 bill. So I had to take it to the bank, you know, deposit it in the bank account. And, you know, when they get something like that, they look at it, right? They're like, okay. And they hold it up to the light and they're looking at all these things. They're looking for the little thing through it. And I don't know, there's like 20 different things that they look at to make sure it's, you know, genuine and not counterfeit. And I remember hearing a long time ago that the way they train people to find counterfeits is not by looking at all the different ways the counterfeiters try to fake money, but they look at what a real bill looks like and all the details on a genuine bill, and that's how they recognize, oh, it's missing something that's supposed to be there, and because they know what a real $100 bill looks like. And the same idea is true here. We don't need to know every single lie the devil might try to tell us. We just need to soak our minds and hearts in God's truth. And then we'll recognize, like, wait, that doesn't match. That's not what God says. That doesn't line up. I like the way Paul said it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. You know, we're not fighting the same way that the world wants to fight. We're not going to let them suck us into their battles, right? On the contrary, the weapons we fight with, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So the strongholds that he pictures are arguments, pretensions, things that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. He says, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's if you struggle in this area of believing the lies and whatever, the thing you're working toward is being able to have a little more control over your thought life, right? To think about, okay, what am I putting into my mind, into my heart, right? How much of God's truth, how much time am I spending letting God's truth shape my imagination? And how much time am I spending listening to other stuff, you know? You've heard the saying, garbage in, garbage out, right? We've all heard that at some point. Or to use Bible language, what you plant is what you're going to harvest. What you sow is what you'll reap, right? What we put in is what we're going to get out. If what we cram into our minds all day long, all week long is garbage, is lies, or a mix of, you know, well, it's not a lie exactly, that's not exactly the truth. Like, well, okay. Let's make sure we got a lot of God's truth coming in. He talks about taking captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. When you find a thought passing through your mind that you're like, wait a second, is that right? Don't just let that thought push you along, right? Don't let that thought just dominate you. Pause for a second, get a little distance from that thought and say, wait a second, what am I thinking right now? I had this thought that blah, 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 blah. And you just spell it out. You can write it out if that helps. You pause and you look at that thought, and that makes it easier to say, no, that's not true. I don't believe that. You know, God told me different than that. Oh, okay. You just keep going, right? It's like a spam call or something that you're just like, nope, ignore, all right, and just let it go. Don't hang on to it. Don't listen to it. Take those thoughts captive so that you can then do something with them, with either accept it or reject it. You might remember we were looking at Jesus being tempted in the wilderness just a couple months ago at the beginning of Lent. Was that passage from Matthew chapter 4, how he's going toe-to-toe with the devil, with our enemy. And I didn't have room to put the whole thing in there. So during that time, the devil came to him and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. He'd been fasting for 40 days. He's hungry. But Jesus told him, no. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He recognized instantly, wait a second. No, you're trying to get me off track, you know. Yes, I'm hungry, but God's providing. That passage about people not living by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God, it's in a passage that's talking about how God provided manna for them in the wilderness. And he's saying, look, God is providing for me, and I am nourished by what God says to me. I don't need to turn that stone into a loaf of bread. And every time he's tempted, even when the devil takes a bit of scripture and twists it to try to get him off track, Jesus recognizes, Jesus responds with scripture. His mind, his heart were saturated in God's word, in the truths of God's word. So he was able to say, no thanks. Again, it's just a conversation. It's not I know we were using war imagery earlier, but it's not like the devil attacks us with, you know, like an M16 or something. The devil attacks us with lies, with words, with trying to get us off track, trying to get us to believe something that's not true, that doesn't match up with reality, where God tries to get us back to reality, back to living in the beautiful world he's created us to live in, a life where God is present and at work and with us. That's the reality that Jesus describes. The kingdom of God is at hand, is present. God is taking charge again of his creation. And we get to live in that reality. We don't have to live the lies that the devil tells us. Whether those are lies that puff us up or lies that tear us down, either way, we want to live like the life that God's created us for. We want to have his truth saturate our minds and hearts. And that truth is, I mean, Scripture is the best way I know to get that truth into our minds and hearts. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul talks to this young leader in the church. He says, "You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus." He said, because you knew the story of Scripture, then when Jesus showed up, you were ready. Ready to receive his salvation, his rescue. He says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. I just underlined that first one. I mean, there's more. To make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong. It teaches us to do what's right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. It's teaching us what is true. And God uses that to prepare and equip us. When I read equip, I thought, oh, just like that armor thing. He's equipping us for battle. He's equipping us for whatever good work is in front of us. God uses his word to do that. Now, I know it's a weird book, all right? It is. We've taken time as a church every 4 years, we do like a through the Bible kind of a thing, like all year long. And I think we're coming up on that this next year. I think next year is going to be another one of those, where we're going to go through the Bible in some way. The last couple of times, we've just gone through the New Testament. I'm trying to decide, last time we didn't. We did a book at a time we did the five books of Moses at the beginning of the year. That's right. The 4 years before that, we went through the New Testament. I'm trying to decide what we're going to do next year, all right? If we go all the way back, the first year we did it, we just went through the entire book, the entire Bible. But the idea is, in some way, you got to get God's word into your heart, into your life. I just had a friend ask me this last week, hey, have you heard of this podcast called First 15? And I was like, no, I haven't. I click, I'm looking at it, and it's a little like daily devotional podcast that every morning, and they've got an app and all this. It gives a little bit of scripture, a little bit of reflective music, a couple little thoughts about it, and it's just a way to start your day with a little bit of God's word. Some of you use the Daily Bread little devotional books. They've got an app too on your phone that can, you know, read you that day's scripture and that thought. Some of you use the Bible app. There's a lot of phone things. There's a lot of stuff on your phone. It's not all garbage on your phones. Did you know that? You can get God's word on there. I was thrilled just a couple weeks ago. Tuesdays I go to Brookdale Senior Living, a mile up the road, and there was a gentleman that afterwards he'd realized, I always give him a little handout, and that day he'd said, I can't read it anymore. I'm like, oh, really? I made the print as big as I could, man. He's like, no, I know, I've got this thing. And he's like, I've got a friend who's taking me to the library. I'm trying to check out the Bible on CD. And it's a couple weeks back to him. And I said, well, you've got a smartphone, right? Yeah. Do you have the Bible app? Oh, I don't know. Let me look. And we download the Bible app, and it can read him the Bible, any part of the Bible he wants. Just tap on that part of the Bible and push the little play button, and there's somebody reading that part. He didn't have to wait 2 weeks. And now he's listening through the whole Bible again. These little contraptions can be a good thing in our lives. So maybe you're using something like that. I don't know. But I would encourage you, find a way to get the truth of God's word into your mind, into your heart. Let it saturate your imagination. We are an unusual creature among all of God's creations in that we are able to imagine something that's not like right in front of us. Other animals, you know, like, they're hungry, they look for food, there's food, get the food, you know. They can't imagine, like, what if we work together and we built a society where I do this and you do, you know. We can imagine something that's not there yet and then make that a reality. It's something that we are capable of doing as human beings. It's why this is so important. Because if the devil gets you believing lies, gets the thought in your head, gets you imagining a world that doesn't line up with reality, then your whole life is going to be at odds with reality. It's like going to be rubbing reality the wrong way, and you're going to Eventually, though, those lies will take shape. You're going to move toward a life that looks like that. What was the example I read this last week? That if you've believed a lie that you are just unlovable, that you're not worthy of love, then if you start to live that out and begin to live that way, then when people try to love you, you're not going to accept that love because, nope, I'm unlovable, and they must be trying to get something out of me, or it must not be real. And then you're going to start acting toward others in ways that are unloving until finally you've made it real. You've made that lie the reality that you're living, and God doesn't want that for any of us. He doesn't want the devil's lies to destroy us. So we got to find a way to get God's word and the truths of God's word into our minds and into our hearts so that we know who we are, so that we know we're loved. Again, it's the reason why at the beginning of this year we started with who we are. And maybe you need to go back and listen to some of those messages if you struggle with this, about who we are according to the Bible, that we are children of God, that we're loved by God, that we're the body of Christ, that we're his kids. And I would also encourage you not to do this just on your own. Do it together. Get together with some other people, even if it's just some conversations, because, man, I've found that it is so helpful. So helpful to have a train whistle going by, right, as I'm trying to gather my thoughts at the end of a message. Anyway, sorry if you can't hear that. There's a train. Anyway, I find it so helpful not to just try to come up with these things on my own, but to talk through them with other people. Because there have been so many times where it's somebody else in my life, as I'm describing something I think God might be saying, or some struggle that I'm going through, or a question I'm asking, and they're the ones that think of the part of the Bible that connects with what I'm going through, or they're the ones that are able to say, well, it sounds like you're, you know, and they're not saying it in these words, but they're basically saying, it sounds like you're believing a lie, Rich. That doesn't line up with reality. That's not true. That's not how things really are. And they're helping keep me from believing a lie and then beginning to live that lie. So I would encourage you to get some people in your life that you can have real conversations with that go beyond how's the weather and what'd you do this weekend and all that kind of stuff. Maybe you can have that here. There are people here that would love to get together with you. You can come Wednesday night. There are other times that you can get together with people. Make some friends where you can regularly get together. I know some of you get together like for coffee once a week with people that that encourage you, that you talk about these things and pray for each other. The last verse here, John chapter 8 again, the same chapter where he's telling people, look, you're just following your father, the devil. You're living these lies. Right before that, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus wants us to be free. That's why he taught us what he did. That's why he told us the truth. That's why when he shows up on the scene, John in chapter 1 says we've seen him full of grace and truth. This is who Jesus was. He was saturated in God's truth. He taught people God's truth because he knew that we had an enemy that would try to destroy our lives by getting us to believe his lies. And he does not want that for you or for me. Let's bow our heads and let's pray to God before we celebrate communion together. Thank you, God. You saw us stuck in the mess that we'd made of ourselves. We had believed the lies. We had tried to do this thing on our own instead of trusting you. And instead of abandoning us to that, you sent your son Jesus to enter into our mess, to speak your truth, to shine your light, to point us toward the life that you have for us, and to make that life possible by taking our sin on himself, dying our death on that cross, taking the full weight and consequences of sin, so that Jesus, by your death and resurrection, you could break the power of sin and death and the devil and set us free. Help us to know today that the devil is a defeated foe. Help us not to believe the lies he continues to spew, that he continues to whisper in our ears. Help us, God, to listen to your voice, to let our minds and hearts be so saturated in the truths of your word that when the devil tries to lie to us, it's as easy for us as it was for you, Jesus, to just say, oh, no, that's not what God wants. That's not what God says. Thank you, God, for telling us time and time again that you love us, that you're with us, that when we screw up, when we sin, that we don't need to run and hide like Adam and Eve did, but that because of Jesus, we can come to you and receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Some of us today, God, we might be recognizing that we've been believing a whole mess of lies. Some of them have been told to us by people we trusted. Some of them, we've told ourselves. We've reinforced these lies. We've been living a lie. And you want us to believe the truth about your love for us, about the role we get to play in your good world, about the beauty that you can bring out in us and in our relationships. Thank you, God. Thank you. Help us not to give up, not to give in. Help us not to believe the lies, and certainly not to live them. But help us instead to receive and believe your truth and to live that truth. Thank you, God, for setting us free. We celebrate this amazing gift of love in this sacrament of Holy Communion. Together with Christians around the world, we offer to you these gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and his blood. Jesus, we remember, you took bread and broke it and gave it to your disciples and said, "Eat this. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You took the cup and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. When you drink this, do it in remembrance of me." And so we do remember, Lord Jesus, the great price that you paid to set us free. And we offer you ourselves, as messed up as we are, confessing our need of your mercy and grace, admitting that we've not always loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. There are some lies we've been believing, and maybe you're putting your fingers on some today, God, that have caused us to go down a path and engage in some behaviors or some habits or some attitudes that today we just need to acknowledge, you're right, God, that is sin. I confess it. I repent of it. We turn from those lies. We turn from the brokenness and death that those lies bring, and we turn to you, and we thank you for being gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. That's what your word tells us. That's how you describe yourself to us. So thank you, God. Thank you for giving us the mercy and grace that we need today, forgiving our sins, cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Oh, please, God, would you fill us with the Spirit of Christ today? Change us from the inside out so that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Oh, wait, do we have that? Oh, there it is. All right, great. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Pastor Judy, would you be willing to help serve communion today? We'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And, Matt, come on up. Matt's going to lead us in one last song as we do this. So we'll be here with the basket of bread and juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. We've got the regular bread, the round gluten-free wafers, or all the little individual cups that if you need to take one of those back to get to at your seat, or maybe you picked one up on the way in. All of these options are there so that you don't have an excuse to say no thank you. God is offering his grace today. And if there's anything holding you back from receiving that grace, maybe right now is the time you need to deal with that. Maybe right now is the time to say, okay, God, I'm yours. Forgive my sins. Allow me to receive your grace. Help this grace to do its work in my heart and life. Change me, God. Make me yours. It's a great opportunity. Let's celebrate.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest trial and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Oh, 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 oh. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on bought with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, 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 no guilt in life, in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Oh, 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 oh. In Christ alone.
Yes, thank you, God. Thank you for the love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the power you give us in him to stand. Help us, God, to be filled with your Spirit this week, that we might stand against our enemy, that we might stand as a people so full of your grace, so full of your love that we just can't help but share it with the people you send us to this week. Thank you, God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.